Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast. Joined today by the Mirror's Connor Mummery. How you doing, mate?
Hi Jack, very well mate, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. I like being as officious as that now, not just like my mate Con. It's like it's the Mirror's Connor Mummery.
Can I just stop you there? What does officious mean?
I might have just made the word up.
I thought
it would meant like official, like of an official standing.
Oh, I see, like, right, you know. I'm with you, yeah. But at least I don't work anywhere that I'm meant to be good with words.
Let me just see, because I have form for doing this. Officious. Assertive of authority in a domineering way, especially
very you.
Especially with regard to trivial matters.
yeah, absolutely spot on, mate, to be fair.
Intrusively enthusiastic in offering help or advice. Interfering. So it seems like it is a word, but I've used it incorrectly, but you know, I don't care.
I'll take it.
How are you doing, mate? It's been a while. You've been on the pod a few times. I think I got you on the damn pod. That was kind of a satellite appearance, wasn't it? But
yeah, it was, yeah. I've been on a couple of times. Been on a couple of times last year, I think, as well. But this is the first time in a long time that it's probably going to be quite a positive one, I think.
I know, right? It's quite weird to be back in that space, isn't it? So, all right, yeah. I'll take it from that then, that you are generally positive and optimistic about Antonio Conte being the manager of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Yeah, how the fuck could you not be? I mean,
well, he used to manage Chelsea, mate, didn't he? You know,
I honestly don't care. He's not Jose Mourinho, is he? That was a thing, you know, when people... God forbid Tottenham fans were excited when Antonio Conte got announced and people were saying, yeah, but you said the same about Jose, you know, you said he's a winner and he's won everywhere he's been. The thing with Conte is it's not 15 years ago, it's last season at Inter Milan in a difficult league. You know, it might not be as good a quality as the Premier League, but to win that league with Inter Milan, when was the last time they won that? I don't know.
It's probably a similar proposition to him coming and winning the Premier League with United, maybe. Yeah?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, but then again, I think United have got one of the best squads in the world. They've just had a PE teacher for a couple of years, but we'll come on to United anyway. But yeah, of course, with Conte, how could I not be absolutely over the moon, especially with, you know, the previous two incumbents. But
I mean, what you've touched on there, because it is it's a nagging worry for me, this idea that, yeah, we all said it about Mourinho, and
it's not like you to have a nagging worry.
I know, mate. I'll break form though, and having someone like Conte in there, there's still just that fear for me. It's like, how can Tottenham fuck this up?
Yeah, you know? Of course, we're always going to have that, but having someone like Conte just makes that slightly less likely. I think it's always going to happen. But I think having a manager as good as him, you know, there's probably only three or four in the world up there with him. I think it staves that off for a bit longer.
What have you made of him so far? And not so much in games at the moment, but just more sort of his general demeanour, how he's been in press conferences, that type of thing. Because it's funny, isn't it? Because for a guy who sort of, you know, I guess he's pigeonholed. And I've always sort of felt really quite incorrectly with Mourinho in terms of being this outspoken, brash, clown of a character. I haven't, you know, he's been pretty low key in kind of his press duties so far. But what I've quite liked is that he hasn't shied away from the fact that it is a massive challenge, this Tottenham job.
Yeah, of course. And he's been very sort of, Yeah, softly spoken and quiet impresses, hasn't he, compared to how he is obviously on the touchline and after games with the players, which has been a bit surprising, but I suppose it'll probably take him a while to get into his stride because it wasn't always that way at Chelsea when he was having Barneys with Mourinho and stuff like that. But like, just on the touchline and that, I'm an absolute sucker for that shit. Like, I absolutely love it. Him going mad because we're beating Leeds at home, you know. He was doing the same when we were playing Vitesse, which I just love it as well. And that post-match video that did the rounds of him sort of going up and high-fiving and hugging all the players after the game, I love that as well. It was brilliant.
It's so nice to see that sort of energy back in, is it? Cause like,
yeah, it is. He's like, Nuno was just like, I mean, barely alive at times. You know, just the way he carried himself and the way he spoke. Like, there was just, there didn't seem to be any emotion there. And it sounds like that was one of the issues as well with the players. But with him, it's just, yeah, he's just all in, it seems. Whereas with Nuno, you felt like he sort of had one foot in the door, which might not have been entirely his fault, but.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because I've sort of spoken about it before. I do feel for Nuno and his time he had here, because it sounds like he was sort of heavily undermined and everything. And I guess now, seeing this kind of Conte thing, the way it's played out, it feels like really Paratici has just kind of gotten any old person and really has known in the back of his mind, because he's mates with Conte, right? And you kind of feel like they've probably had a dialogue all the way along, as in, like, just give us a nod, mate, when you're ready to come and...
Yeah, we'll make pull the trigger.
Exactly.
We'll take Nuno out back,
Pretty much, like, and it... Yeah, I mean, it's obviously to our favour. You can't... Like you were saying, you can't buy into all this sort of shit from other fans and people like that saying, you know, don't get excited, don't get your hopes up about it, you're still Tottenham.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the point of supporting a football club otherwise, you know?
I don't, genuinely, aside from Pep and Klopp, I don't necessarily know if I'd like Klopp. I probably would, but who else is going to make us this excited in terms of a manager? Who could we possibly expect to come in and be as exciting as Antonio Conte is for us at this stage? I honestly don't know.
I don't know. A lot of people were very into Graham Potter.
Oh, fuck off.
I wouldn't have minded him. I'm joking. I
would have been fine with that. I didn't mean that, Graham, by the way. I would have been fine with that when Nuno went, obviously, but I wouldn't have thought we had a shout of Conte then either. And now we have. I can't possibly imagine pining for Graham Potter at the moment.
I mean, we won't have to. Potter will probably be our manager in 18 months when Conte goes to Real Madrid, mate, so, you know.
Well, yeah, there is that, I know. But there was also that thing about Potter that he didn't want to come, wasn't it? I think Matt Law in the Telegraph said that Potter didn't want to come and put his reputation at risk at Tottenham working with Levy.
You know what, right?
I don't know how true that is, but yeah.
If there is a shred of truth in that, you know, and I don't buy into any of this self-defeatist Tottenham attitude of like, oh, of course he doesn't want to come and work for us, we're a shambles. If that is actually true, Graham Potter needs to give his head a wobble, because he's a bad season away from just being the next Eddie Howe.
You know, exactly.
If he gets a good opportunity, he has to take it. You know, I did have a worry that, you know, Arteta might get the chop and they were going to get him, but, you know, it looks like Arteta's still there for the long haul.
Yeah, the worry now is that Arteta might be good, which I hadn't accounted for up until the last few weeks.
I'm not quite ready to accept that.
No, but again, that's something that would be more of a worry if we hadn't just appointed Antonio Conte. So.
This is true. I mean, I was sort of touching there on his press conferences and stuff like that, but one thing that, you know, I am surprised hasn't caused more of a ruckus from certain sections of the fan base, is that he singled out Ndombele in his last presser. Did that come as a bit of a surprise to you?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose, I assume it was brought up, and it's brought up by journalists in his pressers as well, because it's been a talking point with the last three or four managers, obviously, because it's our record signing. So they're going to wonder, you know, if he's going to get a look in, where he's going to fit in. But it's not looking, I know it's only been three games, but again, it's not looking promising for him, is it? And, you know, you don't want to. Conte's had this before with, you know, Fabregas and Eriksen, and that creative kind of player he's eventually brought them in, but they've struggled to convince him early on.
It's funny, isn't it? Because the way this has been sort of batted back is, you know, because obviously people have gone in straight away being like, oh, Ndombele's not fit enough, which is just, I just think it's people just having their own assertions based on, you know.
He's just got that thing where he appears that he's knackered or like all of a sudden, you know, or people have took the piss out of him on Twitter, you know. He's looked knackered after he's come running on as a substitute, you know.
I don't think I've ever done that.
God, no, absolutely not. But I don't know. I think it's just he's like that. I think he's obviously an athlete who trains however many times a week. He's not going to be knackered, you know, after 10 minutes running around a football pitch.
I think there are, you know, don't offer me out or anything, Colm, but like, you know, I'm not going full stats nonce here, but I believe there are quite a lot of stats to show that he does run a lot whenever he's on the pitch. So a lot of this stuff is not true. What people have sort of said more is that this is like you say there with Fabregas and Eriksen, that because Conte is so prescriptive in the roles that he wants his players to perform, a player like Ndombele, who is this kind of mercurial, you know, whatever, this flair player, he struggles to sort of work with these players sometimes. But in terms of like it not looking good for Ndombele, there is also that part of me though that thinks like, surely though with Conte, like if a player is just great, you know, if they're making such a great case themselves, he wants to work with that player. And it does, you know, I'm not singling out Ndombele in terms of like, I've spoken many times on this podcast that I love him. I think he's a sort of player that made me fall even further in love with Tottenham when I was growing up. You know, your Ginola's, Berbatov's. I think he's very much in that mould. He's such a Tottenham player to me. But, you know, like we're saying, it's several managers now that have still got an air of doubt about him. And maybe in this instance, it's not his fault. He's not doing anything wrong. But it just puts into question, like, is this, like, should we maybe just part ways with him, you know, just get decent money for him, he can go off and have a great career, because he would do, he'd walk into PSG's team or Man City's team and probably kill it, you know. He's that type of player. Maybe even possibly Liverpool, you know.
Yeah, it's this might be Conte coming in and possibly testing him a little bit, seeing how hard he's prepared to work to get in the team and stay in the team, you know. He's throwing winks straight in, you know, as opposed to Ndombele. And we saw that with Mason. Ndombele must just be scratching his head a bit at times, to be honest, because you sort of got the vibe that Mason was sort of playing, not playing his mates necessarily, well, he was, but playing players that he's familiar with and knows. And with Conte and Ndombele, it's a strange one, because I genuinely do think he's our most talented player. Naturally gifted, you know, just watching him play
passable,
you know, get out of situations. He does a lot of stuff that I couldn't imagine any of our other players doing. And I imagine, you know, it's probably a weird one for the players, because he's probably taking the piss out of them all in training every day. But he's just not getting anywhere near the team. It's, you know, then Skip's emergence obviously is getting in his way as well. He's not going to replace Højbjerg, because you need someone like that in there, however much you rate him or not, Jack. but you need a player in that mould, don't you? Because otherwise that'd be far too lightweight. But yeah, it's a strange one. It's because, well, there was that thing that came out, Ali Gold in Football.London, I think a week or two after Conte joined, saying how much he likes Skip and how impressed with Skip he's been. Obviously he was suspended for the last game, but it seems like he's a player that Conte's going to work with, which doesn't sound great for Ndombele.
Skippy and Hobby and what's the other one? Winky.
Winky, that was very funny, Winky. That's really fair.
I mean, that's the name for a knob, isn't it?
It is tiny little Winky, yeah.
Yeah.
Or massive Winky.
I reckon Winks probably has a Winky as well, actually, to be fair.
Definitely, yeah. Tiny little Winky, yeah. Bless him.
all right, and so, you know, we touched on the midfield. It's a nice entry point to talking about the first half against Leeds United, because I would say in that first half alone, and all right, yeah, I know I'm often critical of Højbjerg, but I would say even within my lens of not overly rating Højbjerg, that was a particularly dirge performance from him in that first
half. Was,
and Winks as well, to be fair, you know.
It was really worrying up until the second half, because we've seen so many halves of football like that under Nuno and Jose. It almost became the norm, you know. It's, you just look at games like, I don't know, Palace, I think it was this season, which is, well, Palace, obviously it wasn't as dreadful as Arsenal, but just those halves where you're watching it and you, it just appears like the players have absolutely no idea what they're doing.
Awful,
like they haven't been given, like they haven't been given any sort of instructions. They're not working to any sort of plan or system. It's just genuinely quite baffling. And the thing there is why it was so promising that second half is because we've seen those performances, but we've never seen a reaction to those performances in game like we did at the weekend. You know, Nuno wasn't blowing down the house with his halftime team talks. We were equally as, you know, drab in the second half as we were the first half under him. And Jose was the opposite, really, wasn't it? First halves, we seemed to be okay under Jose and usually went in leading and then fell off. So that's why this was so promising to have it the other way around, I think.
I mean, it's just, it's, what you've touched on there is absolutely mad. I mean, there are certain things that, although the, you know, we can sort of attribute things to patterns of play, coaching stagnation, I think Spooky called it on the weekend, but there are certain things that still just worry me. I think, like, professional footballers, professional footballers honestly struggling to just trap a ball and play a short pass with a bit of purpose to it, you know, and that's something that just I've been pulling my hair out about for probably 2 years now watching a lot of people in this squad.
When it comes to stuff as simple as that, it can only be psychological, can't it? And it's a confidence thing because those players obviously haven't got to where they are being unable to trap a ball or make a simple pass. I think that's purely confidence and psychological.
It seems crazy sometimes because I don't know if you watched. I've been banging on about it all day today because it was just one of those unbelievable Champions League games. Young Boys against Atalanta last night.
Oh, no, I didn't. I saw you tweet about it and ignored it.
you just see the way that, like, especially Atalanta as well, just knock the ball about with such purpose. It's unbelievable. And I just think, like, well, it's fucking their tin pot. Well, how are they,
even Young Boys as well, even Young that? Boys, when Young Boys played United at the start of the season and beat them, it's just a lot of these European teams might not have any names on the team sheet that the casual fan will recognise, but they always seem to have a coherent system and, you know, playing above their skill set and stuff like that. And compared to a lot of English teams, it's often the opposite.
I wonder if a lot of this stuff comes back down to, you know, when people are talking about the way the Premier League is often criticised. This is where I need somebody that actually knows about football to tell me why this happens. But you just get the feeling that probably a lot of English football still rests ultimately on, you know, fast, strong players making a physical difference versus, like you say, these kind of tricky technical players. You know, we saw somebody like Modric who had no right, you know, he's a little bloke. I mean, I think it was often overplayed how small he was because he was a fucking unit for a little bloke, Modric.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way he just, when you saw him sort of step into a midfield that previously had been graced by the likes of Tim Sherwood and Stefan Freund, you know, suddenly watching someone like him, like, actually spraying balls about. I mean, to be fair, Michael Carrick was sort of a similar ilk before that. And I'd say Carrick was probably the first player in my lifetime that I saw, playing for Spurs at least, who could sort of knock the ball about in that position like that. But back onto the Leeds game. I mean, I've got the stats here, mate.
I thought we weren't going to do this. You wore me off stats earlier.
But just to sort of show the drastic kind of improvement from the first half to the second half. So if we're talking about, like, I'm not going to go through it all, but when you're talking about, like, in the first half, we've got two attempts, neither on target, and I mean, I don't really know what this means, but a 0.06 expected goals. Versus the second half, 11 attempts, 4 on target with 2.07 expected goals and like 18 touches in the box.
Yeah.
Massively outrunning Leeds United. You know, there's one thing you can count on a Bielsa team to do, and that's to fucking be everywhere, be up in everyone's face. And so I think that, you know, is that a massive second half bollocking from Conte, do you reckon, that's done that? Or is it just trusting the process?
I don't think it's necessarily trusting the process because I don't think we'd have seen a marked difference like that, you know, within the 20-minute time frame, whatever it was. It has to be a confidence and motivation thing, which I don't think they were getting at half times when they needed it under the previous bosses. I can't put it down, a drastic change like that, I can't really put it down to anything other than those things, I think. Intangibles, if you like.
I mean, do you reckon the booing? Where do you stand on the booing, actually?
I don't know. Like, I obviously, the United game under Nuno, obviously, they completely deserved the booing. I thought it was a bit odd, given it's Conte's second game and it was half time. I did think it was a bit odd. I'm not someone who's going to, you know, have a go at fans and say they can't boo their own players. They pay about fucking 80 quid to go and watch Leeds. So,
I know.
You know, they can obviously do what they want within reason.
It's but, funny because I was so staunchly against that sort of shit when, you know, a few years back. I was just so like...
Yeah, when we were good, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, even before then, I was just like, nah, you don't do it, you don't do it. And now I'm like, fuck it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it at all. I just thought it was a bit odd given it was Conte's second game and it was only half time. But yeah, come back to me in a few weeks if we're if we've taken a rapid downturn.
I mean, you
and
think
I've made some banners.
Conte got the Conte out banners. Get that bull cunt out of my club. are you a fan of all his gesticulating and stuff? Because a lot of people see, this is the thing, everyone's sort of standing pretty hard for him at the moment, and I'm honestly starting to find it borderline a bit, you know, come on, have a bit of self-respect at the moment. Like,
look, that's not the kind of guy he is. He's always like that.
Not him. I'm talking about the club and all this, like,
you're having a go at Antonio.
No, the club doing the whole, like, he just gets it and all this sort of thing. It's like, look, he's been here 5 minutes, alright, like, just,
yeah, the social media's been possibly a bit over the top, but I don't know. It's been so shit for nearly 3 years, and you know, I'm not. It probably has been equally shit for people in the club as well who run those channels. So
that's,
you know,
fair. Yeah,
I'm not gonna. You know,
knowing that basically everything you tweet is going to be
exactly
deactivate.
It's just a sea of shite. Yeah,
the time
exactly,
to delete this was now. Those.
Yeah,
sort of,
exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you're posting that meme again, mate. Nice one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. So, you know, I can see why we're going a bit all in and why they're sort of riding that wave of optimism, because it's been a while since we felt like that, to be honest.
Anyone else stand out for you? I think Eric Dyer, great performance.
I thought Dyer was brilliant, yeah, I did. And he just seems like he's always, you know, whoever we have as manager, it seems like he's going to be one of those that play regardless of who we bring in or what formation we play, or certainly it seems like he's always going to be in and around the team, which I don't have a problem with, to be honest. I absolutely love Eric Dyer, and you know, I think, you know, it doesn't really mean anything, but he really does get it. Like, you know, we might have got panned 4-2, but when he scored at the Emirates and shushed their home fans, I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Hello.
All of that. Like, even if he might have been at fault for their fucking equaliser or whatever it was. But it's just, yeah, I've always loved Eric Dyer, and the only thing I've wanted...
He loves you
is,
as well, mate. So
he does, so that's so off-head. The only thing I've wanted with him is to be a bit better, like, because I love him so much and I just want him to be a bit better at football.
It's just switching off, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And just... But then again, I'm genuinely reluctant to read too much into how players have performed the last couple of years, given the situation, who's been in charge, and you know how it's all gone. You know, I'm willing to give everyone a fresh slate and a few months under Conte to see what they can do. But yeah, I thought Eric Dyer was absolutely brilliant. I thought Emerson as well. He had a stinker in the first half, but then everyone else did. He had a stinker for the goal, but the second half I thought he was a lot better. Same with Reguilón as well at halftime. You know, I wouldn't have been surprised if he went off, but then in the second half he was all over the place, up and down the wing. I'm not going to read too much into how players have been the last couple of years, to be honest. I'd like to see everyone given a shot under Conte. It seems like that's what he's going to do, to be honest. You know, even with someone like Sessegnon.
Nice to see Reguilón having a bit of competition now, right?
Yeah, he desperately needs that, yeah. And given that it doesn't look like Davis is going to play at left-back for us anymore, he seems to be in the back three now. And yeah, just someone like Sessegnon, I wouldn't have been surprised if I never saw him in a Tottenham shirt again. But, you know, he brought him back in, he brought him on. I think it was, did he bring him on at 1-1 or 2-1 the other day? But however, whenever it was, he came on at a really important time when, you know, the Premier League match was finally balanced. And, you know, none of the previous managers... of giving him that responsibility, really. And you know, he was fronting up the press conference today for the conference game, I was going to say Europa, but we're worse than that. The conference game, you know, he was sat there with Conte talking about, you know, how excited he is, and it was just really nice to see.
I thought he was decent as well when he came on. He looks rusty, yeah, he was, obviously. Yeah. His touch was like a little bit dodgy here and there, but, you know, you kind of, you got a few sort of spot, because it's so funny, isn't it? Like you were saying, like, yeah, this is a player that we signed for £30 million. It was like lauded around Europe as going to be sort of one of the best talents on the continent. You know, and just the fact he's disappeared to wherever he has done for the past sort of couple
Germany.
Of years. Well, yeah, there you go. We don't mention that country on this podcast, mate.
Sorry, all right? I forgot about that.
All right, fella? You know?
Germany in the physio room, but like...
I'm going to have to start a pod with Royal Britannia now, mate. That's I'm not really going to do that.
No, just Uber Ali. But like, just processing on, like I was looking earlier and he's only 21 still. Like it seems like we signed him when he was, what, 18? But it just seems so long ago because so much has happened since he joined the club.
I mean, it is mad, really, isn't it? 21 years old to write a footballer off. I mean, come on.
Exactly, yeah, it's pathetic.
I mean, how old was Gareth Bale when he stopped having the start of his career, Tottenham career, as Sessegnon had? You know,
what? Genuinely, probably he was probably Sessegnon's age. I reckon he was probably about 21, wasn't he?
Right. Are you on it?
Yeah, I'm Googling it, yeah.
Yeah, go on. This has been an interesting one. Because you know, a lot of people revise history. A lot of people forget. A lot of people were saying Gareth Bale should be sold. I remember all the message boards back in the day. It was all, Bale's washed. He's not going to do anything. Sell him to Birmingham. Yeah. They offered us, what, 7 million for him. Nottingham Forest, Birmingham, all that. And then, you know, we're not...
So, yeah, he was 20 when he first, you know, started having a proper run in the team. And, you know, he was 21 when he burst onto the scene in the Champions League. But, yeah, he was... And the thing is, we signed him when he was really young, didn't we, Bale? It seems like we did. I think he was 17.
Yeah, I think he was 17, 18, yeah.
Which is, again, ridiculously young. But it didn't happen for a good 2 or 3 years, really, did it? He had that stat. He didn't win in 20-odd Premier League appearances. And I think I was at the game when... I think we beat Burnley 5-1 or something like that. And Robbie Keane scored a hat-trick. And Bale came on, I think, when we were like 4-0 up to break that record.
We're a fucking loser.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Being a Spurs fan, you honestly have that fear, though, don't you?
Yeah, there's no safe call line, yeah, obviously.
Nothing, but it would be nice to see Sessegnon. And even if, you know, even if he, I'm not saying he's going to have the trajectory that Gareth Bale did, but like we were saying there, it's nice to see, Reguilón have a bit of competition now because he has started to stagnate a bit, you know, already.
Yeah,
and this, yeah. I don't think that, I think he is very much a victim of what we've had the past couple of years, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that was the thing. He started really well, didn't he? And everyone was bringing back up.
He got
Madrid's
bought that
buyback clause.
Ham leg or whatever he got, didn't he?
And yeah, fucking hell, Jesus. Yeah, Mourinho's at it again, isn't he, now with that? He bought that young lad a pair of Balenciaga boots or something, didn't he? Because he scored in Serie A at the weekend. It will soon wear off.
It already feels like he's... I don't know, man. He's embarrassed.
I mean, that fucking... Whoever they lost to, Bodo glimped. He lost to a team with punctuation. Like, whoever that was. Well, they lose 6-0. That's early even for Mourinho, isn't it? None of that. That sort of thing didn't happen that early on, even at us.
Bodo glimped. I mean, like you say,
punctuation
that would give Arsenal fans a wet dream, innit? You know, all those O's with like weird little things and stuff. I mean, weird little things. Someone else's
weird
language.
Things, you know, Christ. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I am going full fucking Alan Brazil today, aren't I?
Weird little things.
Oh, dear, the state of it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, okay, mate. So we've spoken about Conte. The elephant in the room is Maurizio Pochettino.
I'm only joking.
Don't you dare.
Maurizio, if you're listening.
I'm gonna put my thoughts on this one out there, right? Because I feel at the moment there's a lot of this sort of macho. I'm over Poch. No, I'm more over Poch. You're pathetic if you have any kind of, affection for somebody that was absolutely exceptional for us as a manager, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I get it. I've spoken about it on here. I totally understand. It's probably unhealthy to be pining for Pochettino, for us to be actively wanting him to come back in a real sense, let's have him back. I felt it this summer because.
Massively, yeah. It looked like it was going to happen for about 2 days.
Exactly. I get it. We've got Conte now, and that's fucking amazing. That is great. And we obviously want Conte now. We want to try something new because, beg your pardon, we've gone through the sort of Pochettino cycle. And, we do want to try something different. We want to see what Conte can do with this with whatever budget he's given. It is exciting. The only thing I would say, now this is the thing I would say in here now. A lot of people kind of are taking that as, so just get over Pochettino forever. Like, don't kind of have any sort of sense of either attachment to him or whatever. I mean, that shit I think is pretty toxic, to be honest. I don't really buy into any of that stuff. That kind of, I need to police you having an emotional attachment to somebody. Like, that can sort of, that can get in a bin a bit. The other thing I would say is, right, I think Pochettino is somewhat unique in the, if we're talking about the prospect of him one day returning, I don't think it's something we need to just rule out as in this can never happen again, because I think there's a couple of reasons to this, in so much as he's still young. He is still young as managers go. And there is so definitely a sense of unfinished business with him and Tottenham, more so than I think I've ever felt with any manager that we've had in the past. And so I think that is what makes it somewhat different, the idea of him coming back. Because it's not just a case of I think Martin Jol, let's take Martin Jol for example. He's a manager that there was a lot of affection for. A lot of people loved him. He brought the good times back to Tottenham for the first time, in a lot of people's lifetimes, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly mine. But when he did go, as gutting as it was and as gutting as the manner of it was, I think a lot of people probably would have conceded, it's all run its course. He'd taken us to a new place and probably as far as he could. I'm still not so sure that's the case with Pochettino. I don't know. I just feel, to me, I just think it's sometimes lost on a lot of people because we're so geared towards this culture of shiny things, of trophies, of winning things, to completely kind of lose sight of the fact that this is a man that took Tottenham Hotspur, literally Tottenham Hotspur, to a Champions League final. Yeah. It's pretty massive. It's pretty fucking seismic. And I think it's disingenuous to just pretend that, like, it's a sign that he's a loser or whatever and we don't want somebody like him back at the club, because we didn't win a fucking League Cup under him, you know?
Would you call a man who won the Trophée des Champions a loser, Jack?
I certainly would not. And he looked so happy winning it as well.
Yeah, he did. It was like his second game, wasn't it? Fucking absolute joke. 5 years at Tottenham and he wins something there in his second game.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about it all, mate?
I absolutely hate it. The thought of him going to United is horrible. Obviously, how much I love him and how much I think sacking him was one of the most stupid decisions ever. And I would say chairman have been sacked for worse. But I really don't like the feeling of him managing Man United. It was a lot easier when you could only sort of imagine him at PSG and you know, Real Madrid, because it was just all a bit further from home. But the thought of him bringing back the glory days to Man United and taking them back to the top and whatever is just horrible, and I want him to stay away, to be honest. I would have felt that a lot more strongly if we were still with Nuno and, you know, still shit, and having Conte definitely lessens the blow. But yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, but it does seem to be that it's been a bit overstated, right? That I'm not 100% sure that he's going to go to United right now.
No, well, apparently, well, they made an actual approach today, apparently. I'm not sure how much to read into the sort of, you know, the reports the other day that he's ready to go now, or, you know, he's ready to quit PSG. They said that in the summer and he didn't. He doesn't seem like that kind of bloke, does he? He's not just going to march in there and, you know, hand in his resignation. If it doesn't happen, it'll probably be the summer. I do think it's going to happen, though. I've always thought he was going to manage Man United one day. I thought he'd probably leave Tottenham to do it at some point. But nonetheless, I'm still not a fan of it, to be honest. Because the thing is with him, I love him so much, and I always want him, in everyone's eyes, to be associated with Tottenham and to be a Tottenham man. But, you know, if he goes to Man United and wins their first Premier League since Ferguson, when people think of Pochettino, they're just going to think of Man United, and he doesn't deserve that.
Is it? I think one of the things that is quite interesting about the United thing, it's Sid Lowe, isn't it? Who's the Spain? He's the sort of Spanish football correspondent. Yeah, because I remember listening to him on a podcast. I think it was, I can't remember whose pod it was, maybe Times Pod or something like that, the football one anyway, before you start calling me a Tory.
Rod Little, was it?
Yeah. fuck, it might have been. He sort of said around, you remember when Pochettino went for that lunch with Alex Ferguson after
the
16-17 season? Yeah. I remember Sid Lowe saying on it, because it's funny, because in the UK it's often, we talk about sort of, you know, Pochettino and Bielsa being his hero and all this sort of thing. That's the sort of aspect of his career that's probably quite overstated, when in Spain they all know that he's, I believe anyway, he's a big fan of Alex Ferguson. Like, he's a real disciple of Ferguson and everything that he did with United, and has always, you know, had a sort of fondness for the idea of managing Manchester United, which I think that's one of those things as well that a lot of people kind of outside, well, in within the UK lose sight of, because they've been shite for a few years, is that United are still absolutely massive globally. You know, they're probably up there with Madrid and Barcelona in terms of an opportunity.
I'd say they're probably number one, to be honest.
So,
Yeah,
for a humble farm lad from, you know, Argentina, it's
from Murphy.
Yeah, that's it. It's probably a pretty big opportunity, but yeah, you know, oh, it's going to be grim. I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not keen on it. I'm really not, because I genuinely do think they'll be great under him, because that squad they've got is fucking ridiculous.
It's obscene. It's obscene, especially if they, you know, dare I say, add Harry Kane to that as well.
Well, they'll make it worse. But they've you know, the most expensive squad in the world, and they've had Solskjaer, who, I mean, yeah. I read a thing today saying they're thinking of giving it Carrick till the end of the season, which, how have they not learned, honestly?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I read saying they're thinking about it, but, you know, I've also read that they're going to get Valverde in.
Valverde, Zirin,
yeah. Interim. But isn't that just a bit fucking embarrassing for Valverde? Like, We're gonna have you until June, until anyone better comes along, then you go fuck off. He was managing Barcelona a few years ago, and he was decent.
Michael, I mean, like you say, Carrick again. Imagine if they do. You cannot take the club or the ownership seriously if they continue to do stuff like that.
You always think, for some reason, you always think a player like Michael Carrick, or, you know, someone like Andrea Pirlo, Paul Scholes, for some reason you think they might turn out to be really good managers, you know, just because of how they played, the way they played, and the way they saw the game. But it rarely turns out like it. I mean, Pirlo looks like he's shit. Scholes would have managed Oldham for about a week. You know, and you've got Carrick. Carrick might turn out to be good, I don't know. But
he's not
always
be that,
just
is
sort
he,
of,
let's be honest.
No, he's not. He's definitely not. You just always think that for some reason that sort of player is going to turn out to be a good manager. And, you know, someone like Xavi as well, who I honestly don't know. He won loads of stuff in Qatar, though, which including the lottery, which is fucking weird, by the way.
I bet that wasn't fixed.
No, absolutely not. No, no. If there's anyone who needs to win the lottery, it's him. So.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. It's very bizarre. Let's turn our attention to, well, at the time of recording, tomorrow night, FC Mura. Tottenham.
NS Mura.
Is it NS? I thought it was FC.
Basic research. I know. You researched XG against Leeds, but not what
happens
we're playing tomorrow.
It's not what happens here, mate. It's not what happens in this, in this parish. What are your thoughts on the? Because I'm still seeing people saying we just want to be out of it. We want less fixtures. Mm. It's a tin pot competition. Because to me, I'm sort of thinking ahead. I'm thinking a nice sunny, warm summer evening. Everyone down the pub. Tottenham in a, or you know, if we go out there to the final, Tottenham in a European final, whatever the caliber.
Where is the final again?
It is. I looked at this the other day.
Is it Gdansk or something like that? No. Oh, Tirana in Albania.
There you go. I was going to say Albania. But the thing is,
no offence to any Albanians.
I was going to say Albania, but European I was worried finals, about me having another Alan Brazil moment.
Wow. May as well go for the hat-trick. Yeah. But all the Spurs lads in Tirana. There you go.
Tidy little stadium.
Wow, yeah, but...
Emphasis on little.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I honestly don't know whether it's more embarrassing to win it or get knocked out. It's one of them. Whereas, you know, with the Europa, I used to absolutely love the Europa and UEFA Cup. UEFA Cup, some of the best nights I've had at the old White Hart Lane.
Fucking unbelievable.
Under Redknapp, you know, playing against Wisla Krakow and Dinamo Zagreb and stuff like that were genuinely some of the best nights.
Do you remember that? Was it Redknapp or was it Pochettino, that Fiorentina game when...
Oh, that's Poch, yeah. Again, Poch. Incredible.
I honestly think that was potentially one of the best atmospheres I've ever heard in the old White Hart Lane.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it was. Before, you know, qualifying for the Champions League ruined it a bit, to be fair, and it, you know... We were no longer happy or, you know, appreciative of being in Europe. It had to be the Champions League. Now we can't even get in the Europa League. The Europa League I always desperately wanted to win, so, you know, that it'd be absolutely amazing to win that. Loads of big teams win it, you know. Atletico won it, Chelsea have won it, I don't know how many times. But with this, I mean, I'm really struggling to bring myself to care, to be honest.
I think, I don't know, see, the thing for me is it's like, it's the inaugural season, hopefully the last time we'll find ourselves in it. And it's just like, at least, I don't know, just get it over the line. Because it is so tin pot, you know.
Well, to be fair, I didn't think about was, it was obviously, I thought it would be us and Roma going all the way. But then, am I right in thinking the Europa League teams fall into it when they get knocked out?
They do, yeah. So it's even more tin pot.
So we could get a rogue, decent team, which is not what we want.
No, it's not. But like you say, though, it must be surely. It's just that feeling that if we do get knocked out of it, that is proper tin pot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and losing to Vitesse away was just awful. Like that game was just shocking. It was Nuno, you know, leaving the complete first 11 at home, you know, and just completely dividing the squad into two separate, you know, entities, and which is what Conte said he's absolutely not going to do. You know, he said he's obviously going to rotate, but he's going to take a mix of, you know, starters and substitutes and whatever, which I think is the way to go. You can't just create that divide like Nuno did with you lot are only going to play in this fucking, you know. I've had oat milk in the fridge longer than the Conference League's been a thing. And, you know, and you lot are obviously going to play in the Prem, because what that did was just say, you lot playing tonight, what, absolutely no chance of playing in the Premier League at the weekend. There's just no way to manage a squad.
I did completely try to justify that at the time. I was just like, well, you know...
Obviously, of course, you fucking contrarian wank.
it should give them a rocket up the arse, you know? It should teach them...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, their place in the team is special, and if they want it, they should fight for it like real men.
Yeah, like the troops.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. With, like, big bollocks and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But well, I mean, we're all passion merchants now, mate. We're all big on content.
Well, yeah, there was that debate on Twitter, wasn't there?
Oh, was there? What's happened?
Well, yeah, just people disagreeing. Actually, I think it was probably Lister disagreeing with someone for a change on Twitter.
Are we talking Ollie Lister disagreeing with someone on Twitter.
Yeah, very out of character. But so I think someone said he wasn't passionate, or someone said he was. I can't remember. It was something like that. But yeah, people called him a passion merchant and stuff like that. And it's, I think someone was making the point that it's completely different with him because he's got the, you know, the tactical prowess to back it up. Whereas passion merchants like, you know, Sherwood and Ferguson didn't really.
I bet Antonio Conte is a very firm but caring lover. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It'd be quite well, terrifying.
You see, he was speaking about that Inter. What did he say at Inter or something? Only.
Oh, he said something like, this is pretty grim, to be fair. If we look in for toxic things, he said. He said, oh, you know, I tell all my players before a match, only have sex with the wife, not with the mistress, because you know you have to put in more effort when you're with the mistress, and you're a bit like, oh, mate, like,
he must love the fucking Sopranos. I'm surprised he doesn't say Guma.
He probably does. You know?
Yeah, I bet he does. Yeah, I bet he has one, doesn't he? Well, I probably can't say that.
I don't know. We shouldn't redacted.
Redacted. Yeah.
Comment redacted. Yeah. He. He's. BDE is what I would say about Antonio Conte, big time.
Bald dick energy.
Maybe that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And Poch had that side as well. And, you know, the fucking stupid, you know, angry little man inside you absolutely loves it. So.
It is strange, isn't it? There is something, I don't know, like, because being completely honest, right, I utterly detest being around those sort of characters, like whenever it's like work drinks or any of that sort of thing, and yeah, everyone's had a few, and like it starts getting a bit blue, and the lads start with the fucking whatever. I'm always a bit like, I'm all right with all that sort of thing. And or if you know, even if you're playing like, you know, when you sort of have a fun supposedly kickabout, doing a bit of five a side and that,
yeah,
and there's always that one fella that's fucking. He thinks he's Martin Keown, you know what I mean? Like clapping his hands, shouting at everyone, being the sort of sarge. And I just think, geezer, this ain't motivating me at all. I'm fucking about 5 stone overweight. I'm just having a runabout because it's a bit fun.
I think a lot of, they're not all of them, but a lot of footballers are, you know, probably quite simple when they respond to that.
Completely.
They want that.
Yeah, and this is sort of what I was getting around to, is that I often think that like a lot of like what I judge as like things that I would find palatable, I'm happy to see done to other people because I have this idea that they might like it, which is ultimately my point here. No, but I do know what you mean. Like I know, like again, it's that point, isn't it? Like Premier League footballers to get to where they are, like. They're precision engines. Like they are elite athletes, and they are driven. They're all alpha males. Like they're all driven.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible horrors, you know. And I think they probably one of the big things that Conte's got going for him is that he was a fucking quality player as well. And he's been.
I'm way too young for that, I'm afraid, Jack.
I mean, I am sort of, not really, kind of, but he was class. You know, he was he was a very good player. And I think that sort of thing, you know, especially sort of now he's a bit older, now he's not suave, he's not kind of got that sort of cheeky devil type thing about him. Mourinho now is just an angry sort of oddly shaped old man that is sort of chatting to a load of footballers who are miles better than him.
Yeah.
Like they're shy, and they probably are just a bit like, hang on, fella.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, you know? Because people always theorised, didn't they? They had that old thing of like, oh, Mourinho just hates players that were always better than him because he thinks they're wasting their talent. Whereas I just sort of think, like, maybe he's just a bit of a wanker.
Well, you could say that.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to touch on, mate, is Harold Harry Kane. Because
say
that's a very different conversation. We can talk about our
Shipman. Is it though? Actually. Is it?
Well, they're both.
Go on.
They're both. I don't know. Guilty of
Careful.
Yeah, I know. I just that's not. It would have been easier if it was Wayne Rooney. There's a better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, why do I do this? Harry Kane. I mean, are you?
Mm.
What are you thinking about him at the moment, mate? Because I thought he was all right the other day.
Yeah, he was all right. He wasn't Harry Kane, and he hasn't been for all season, has he?
Unless
we're playing Miura at home.
Did it do you nutting seeing him do what he was doing for old England. Fucking yeah?
Yes, yeah. It's good. What did he score? 7 goals in 2 games. Then he comes back and yeah, just nowhere near. I don't know. I think, you know, there was that thing about him. He's absolutely loving Conte, and that thing about him talking to all the England players about how good Conte is and stuff like that. So hopefully things will change, and you know, you saw reports from, you know, the same papers that were carrying all that stuff in the summer about him wanting to go, that, you know, he's reconsidering now. We've got Conte in and we're showing ambition and stuff like that. But obviously his place isn't in danger or anything like that, but he really does need to start showing more soon, I think.
I mean, if the rumours are true that we are actually going proper for Vlahovic in January, it's a pretty big statement, isn't it? And to me, it probably indicates that we genuinely do have some sort of an agreement with Kane now that we're going to flog him in summer.
I don't know, but are Man City watching him play this season and thinking that's the player I want to spend 80 million on? He's just completely gone off it. Like, he obviously still has glimpses, like he was pinging it around nicely and stuff and finding passes that none of our other players could, but I don't know.
I can't
remember the last time he turned in a, you know, a superb 90 minutes.
I just look at these England games though, and I do think, look, when he's in an actual team that sort of is giving him chances, he bangs them in.
But he's not going to have that excuse for much longer at Tottenham, because I think we are going to get a lot better quite quickly under Conte. And to be honest, I do think Kane will come back. He always does, you know, whenever he has a month or two dip, people write him off and he always comes back. It's just this time he tried to leave Tottenham, so, which we'd never really had before. I didn't like the way he went about it, to be honest, and he's got a lot to do to win me round, which I think would be big motivation for him.
What was this thing? You remember what he said against Liverpool? You know, when he missed his, can't give me 2 chances? Remember that into the camera?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, yeah. Well, if he scored the first one, we might have won the league that season, but they...
He went through that funny little phase, didn't he, actually, of saying things. He said it after he said, love a North London derby, didn't he?
That was cute.
He soon sort of got out of the habit of that, which was... probably for the best.
He's still going to be my favourite of a person, and he knows it as well. But he's taking the piss a bit and testing me.
It's annoying, isn't it? Because I still...
It is annoying, yeah.
Because I still can't help it. I still have that little thing like... Because I went in pretty hard on him in the summer. I think we all did and whatever.
Yeah.
But now I'm just sort of like... It still triggers me. When I hear people really digging him out, I'm like...
Yeah, absolutely. And when that was all going on in the summer, I was like, yeah, fair enough. He's a prick or whatever. He's not... Harry, if you're listening, but that's the thing. We've defended him so staunchly against just tirades of shite and nonsense from other fans and other fucking players the last few years, and then he just goes and fucks us off immediately when he thinks he's in with a sniff of moving City, and just, you know, probably assumes we're all going to go back to the way we were. But yeah, I always said, you know, he's got a lot of work to do, and he's got to start banging them in. I said if he scored against Arsenal, I'd forgive him, and he didn't. So
he's let you down again.
Let me down again. Yeah,
he's mugged you off, hasn't he? He's heard you saying that, mate, and he's mugging you off. He's making you look a right cunt in front of all your mates.
Well, I'll keep my mouth shut, and he might fucking remember where the net is.
Maybe he will, but he's not going to now because you've been talking about him again. So, mate, come on. Yeah. Should I just delete the pod then? Get rid of it. One last thing that I am sort of pretty gutted about that I wanted to pick up on, because I just had a quick look onto it now, is that Christian Romero has apparently got a significant injury.
Yeah, we're just, when it comes to that,
that's
we're just
fucking
such,
cursed, isn't it, mate?
We're such, honestly, pathetic little cucks. You see, every other big club, in air quotes, you know, pulling their players out left, right, and centre of internationals and stuff. And we're always like, go to Argentina, you know, I've just spent 50 million on you, go and play there and then isolate for fucking 6 months afterwards. Yeah, we're just, whenever you're ready, mate. Whereas other teams like Man United, Fergie used to do it all the time, didn't he? Just pull his players out of nonsense, you know, internationals. Obviously not tournaments, but just this shit. Like, the thing, that's one of the curses with Kane being England captain as well, is he's always going to play.
Yeah.
He's not going to miss a game.
And especially, you know, him, you know, the way
he is. Exactly. He's always going to want to, but he sort of has to, really, doesn't he? Because he's the captain. Like, he should not have played against San Marino the other night, and he did. But just in general, I think we need to be a lot more, I think a lot more reluctant to let our players go to the other side of the world for 2 weeks, play two bullshit qualifiers, either come back injured or with COVID, or, you know, have to isolate in a hotel for 3 weeks in Croatia. I just think we need to start putting our foot down a bit more with that.
I mean, it's hard to know because I don't even know what the actual rules are. How much power do clubs really have anymore, you know?
Well, because I think a lot of the time they just Mason Mount fucking missed England duty because he had a poorly wisdom tooth. I think a lot of it is players and clubs come into some sort of agreement, like, you're going to have a hamstring strain in November. And they're like, all right. You know, I don't think there seems to be any of that going on with us. We just seem to just let them all go and fuck off for 2 weeks and, you know, come back with one leg.
It's just one of those damning things, isn't it? I just think it's hard to sort of see that they just don't really care that much about the club we love, you know? It's
well,
just
a job, isn't it? Yeah. And to be fair, yeah, I get why right now, you know, playing for Argentina might mean more to Romero than playing for Tottenham does, but, you know. Pay his wages and we just pay £50 million for the camp.
We pay his wages and we won the Falklands, all right? So
exactly.
Back in your fucking box, Christian. it is fucking gutting to have him out there, man, because honestly, like...
Yeah, it really is. He's mustard.
I'm not even sort of... Yeah, it's not even the RG bias in me. It's that he honestly looks like he's going to be like one of the talents of this generation.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely, yeah.
He's unbelievable. I was watching him the other night for Argentina against Uruguay and he's fucking unbelievable.
He is such a good player. I thought he was possibly going to struggle a bit early on, having not seen him play and knowing nothing about Italian football. I just thought he might struggle a bit early on, given a few things I read from people who know more about that sort of thing than me. But yeah, I mean, possibly a couple of ropey moments in his first couple of games, but he's just immediately looked our best defender.
He's fucking hard as well. He's up for it. Gutting. He's so aggy. And
he is.
You know, you can imagine Conte really sort of... And that's just what's gutting about him.
Yeah,
you
so
just
annoying,
want to see Conte just working with him and sort of moulding him into, you know, getting a bit of his rashness out, but not losing the fire, you know?
Yeah. So it's gutting. That's the thing. If it is months, hopefully it's not, but who's going to slot in there? I think... I really liked Tanganga, but I think Sanchez looked quite a lot better in that position when he came on than Tanganga did.
He did, didn't he? He really did.
Yeah, and
dug out Dav a lot in the past, but he suddenly, you know, playing in that position as well.
He's one of them that I'm very reluctant to read into his performances the last couple of seasons, because playing for someone like Mourinho, when you're just sat there attracting pressure and, you know, if you make one mistake, we're fucked. Because we're holding on to a 1-0 lead at Wolves for 85
minutes. And also, let's not forget as well, the same Mourinho who in his first training session was like, ha ha, you were shit when you were at Ajax. We targeted you in the Europa League final.
He's just,
boss. Nice one.
We won't talk about him because I'll say some bad things. But I thought I'd like Sanchez against under Poch. I liked him and I thought he looked so much more comfortable than he did under Mourinho and Nuno. You know, he was trusted with a lot of big games and, you know, you didn't... The definitely wasn't the reaction that there is now sometimes when he's on the team sheet than there was then. It probably helped being, you know, alongside Vertonghen or Toby or whoever he was playing with at the time and in a much better team. But, you know, hopefully... He's still young for a centre-half. He's mid-20s, you know, and hopefully playing alongside someone like Romero might help get the better of him.
I wonder what the fuck's going on with Roden now. I just wonder if he's properly...
I don't know, man. I really like that. I don't know. It's a weird one because, again, he's someone who's had three managers now, including Conte. And he's not really... I know, again, it's really early days, but he hasn't had a look in yet. But
he's an absolute worldie. He had an absolute worldie
for
Wales.
Mate. I absolutely love him. And I've spoken to Swansea fans who just think he's the absolute bollocks. And my mate, I've got a mate, a Welsh mate, not to brag, called Josh, who, like, he follows Wales really closely and, like, he absolutely loves him and he thinks he's the absolute bollocks and he just doesn't get a look in and they can't see why. But Yeah, I don't know. It must be something in training that we're not seeing.
Maybe it's his brother's muggy Twitter presence that...
Oh, fucking hell. That doesn't help. That'd be so annoying if you're a professional footballer, wouldn't it? And you start some little twat on Twitter mouthing off.
Being like, oh, guess what happened? And you fucking shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fucking, well, we had that with Brian Lamella for a while, didn't we?
Yeah, that was funny early on, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and he sort of became a bit... He went through that arc, didn't he, of like, everyone loved our new signing's little brother who's on Twitter, and then when Lamella started not performing... Yeah. And
your brother
Brian
shit.
Yeah, and everyone was like, fucking fuck off, Brian, you fucking shut up. Yeah,
yeah, everyone digging him out. I don't know. I really hope Roden gets a go, because I think he's a very good centre-half. And I think everyone massively underperformed against Jose, but I thought he pretty much always looks pretty solid when he was on. I think that was that Liverpool game he fucked up. Did he score an own goal or just laid one off on put one on a plate for Mane?
I mean, you can forgive that though, can't you? I mean, they're just horrible.
That was one of his first games. It might have actually been his first game, but apart from that, I thought he looked really decent, the sort of solid centre half under Jose, considering none of our players look solid under Jose. For a 21, 22 year old centre half, I thought he looked really good. But yeah, I don't know, we'll see.
Well, it's getting back, mate. It'd be good to have more British fellas in the squad, wouldn't it,
exactly,
mate?
Yeah.
See, proper players. I mean, I've gone full Alan Brazil today, so you know, I might as well commit.
Go all in, mate. Yeah,
that's it. Well, don't know about that, mate. But you know, right. Lovely to have you on, Connor, again as per usual.
Anytime, Jack, mate.
If people want to find you on Twitter or any other of your chosen social media channels, where can they find you?
At Connor Mummery, ConorMummery.
Give him a follow. He's a good value on Twitter, actually, Connor. Like, you often come out.
Thanks, mate.
Bangers,
you know, I have to. I play it pretty safe because of my job and what
having
have you.
A job and that, yeah.
Having a job and having a name and stuff like that. But I just talk absolute nonsense about Tottenham like I have for the last hour. So
I wouldn't know anything about that, mate.
I wouldn't think to build a entire personality around it or anything.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.